And we thank you. And we pray this right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So be it. So be it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to start Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. Of course, this is talking about Jesus. And it says here, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, it just struck me with this in another verse that we're going to read here in the same chapter, that the child grew. Well, he was just a baby, yet it's just natural that he would grow physically. What got me was the fact that he waxed strong in the spirit. He became strong in the spirit. Whoa. Something in my mind had depicted him as being complete. He didn't need to grow in the spirit. But he waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. You know, and I just didn't think of Jesus needing grace. I need grace. And I know you need grace. We all need grace because by grace we are saved. And by the grace of God, he's keeping us. And everything comes by grace, unmerited favor. It's not something we've earned. It's something that he gives to us. His grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So in the place where I am weak, he promises to make me strong. Amen? The only problem he has with me is when I think that I can do it myself. I can still remember my mother saying, sarcastically she would say, "It's okay, God, I can take it from here. I can take it from here." No, I can't take it from here. She was just joking. But it's true. But it just seems like it's hard to get through to me. But he grew. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And then we go to 47. It says, and all that heard him were astonished. Now, they had taken him to Jerusalem, and then, you know, they were on their way home, and they found out he wasn't there. And 3 days they were looking for him, and they found him. And so he says, when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." So they were really upset, right? And you and I would get upset if our child just wandered off, especially at the age of 12, knowing better. You didn't tell us. You didn't, you know, inform us. All kinds of stuff would go through their minds, right? What's happened to him? Where is he? And so he said to them, "How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature." Well, I can understand stature. After all, he came as a baby. He came in the flesh. But he also came in the flesh in his natural abilities. He didn't come with knowing the whole encyclopedia. He didn't come with all this stuff, because if he did, then he didn't come in the flesh. But he came just as we come. Now, he was born of the Spirit, but then again, if you're born again, you have been born of the Spirit too. I have been born of the Spirit. So he didn't come with any other advantages than we have after we become saved. But he applied it. He applied it right. He applied it, and God, as our example, it shows that a human being, someone in the flesh, could actually please God to the point that Jesus pleased God. He was called, he was chosen, and he was formed for a particular purpose, but he still did it. But how he did it is the way to show us how we can do it. And so Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. As people began to look at him and notice him growing up, they noticed something was different. They noticed a difference in him than the other kids. And it grew in other people. The witness grew in other people. It couldn't help to grow because he was applying what God had showed him. You know, it says here that in verse 47, and all that heard him, these scribes and the Pharisees that he was talking to in the temple, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. They were astonished because of this wisdom that he had. But we have to understand something. He just didn't have it. It just wasn't there in a sense that he didn't have it and then he had it. Or that, you know, he just grew up with that wisdom. Remember Solomon? He asked for wisdom and God gave it to him. Amen? But we also noticed that after years and years of disobeying God and doing the things that God didn't want him to do, his many wives turned away his heart from God. And so the wisest man that ever was messes up. And it wasn't God's fault. It was his fault. Amen? Jesus didn't mess up. So we see something here. But we see what we want to see too is that we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to grow in wisdom. And again, we never get to the place where we know everything. It's just a process of line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. We continue to grow in him. We are to continue to believe and trust in him. Okay, one other thing I want to bring out there is too is that he was subject to his parents. You know, after they found him in temple, he went home and he was subject to his parents. So till he was around 30 years of age, he was a carpenter. You know, he's a carpenter there in Nazareth. And he, you know, he was subject to his parents. He did his father's business. He was in his father's business. And they just knew him as, you know, Joseph's son, Joseph the carpenter's son. He submitted himself to God because that was God's will and purpose for him at that time. But as we see here, see, he didn't have the New Testament, but he had the Old Testament. And he would read the Old Testament. And he'd read these things about the Messiah, these prophecies about the Messiah, and the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that you have and that I have, who Jesus said would lead and guide us into all truth, led him and guided him into all truth. He believed what he had saw written there, and the Spirit of God, he believed the Spirit of God was speaking to him because God was speaking to him through the Scripture. This is who you are. See, in my carnal mind, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, he came to earth. He knew exactly what he was going to do and everything he was going to do. He didn't know it. It wasn't implanted there. He wasn't a robot. It was in the Scripture. And as he read the Scripture, the Holy Spirit, because he received the Word of God with meekness, everything that was written in the prophecies, you know, this understanding, this wisdom, God was giving it to him through the Spirit. The same Spirit that you have, that I have. Amen? And the Spirit, the same Spirit, wants to reveal things in the Word that pertain to me. It isn't what somebody else tells me what pertains to me in the Scriptures. It's what the Spirit of God is telling me that I need to claim and hold fast to, because that's what God is saying to me. Today, if you will hear my voice. And the voice is the voice of the Spirit. His Spirit is witnessing, always witnessing to our spirit. That still small voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Now what the Spirit has to overcome is our thinking, is our carnal mind, our own understanding. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they had the knowledge of the Old Testament. They had to memorize whole books. They just were in it all the time. Yet they didn't hear God's voice. And when God spoke to them through Jesus Christ, they couldn't hear him. And that's why Jesus kept saying to them, the words that I speak are not whose words? They're not my words. They're the words of him that sent me. So Jesus, as a child, as he grew in grace. He grew in favor with God and with man because he saw himself as God spoke to him and said, this is who you are. And just like you and just like me, I've got to believe it. He believed it. And just like the Spirit spoke through Elizabeth and told Mary, blessed is she that believes, blessed is she that believes, blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So the things that God tells you, the things that God tells me, these are the things that are going to happen. These are the things that are going to come to pass. But they're not here now. They can't be here. If they're here now, if you're experiencing it, you don't need faith. Because faith is always the substance of things that you need, things that you're not. God calls those things that are not what we see. He calls them not what they are, what we see them as, but he calls them as they are. So Jesus didn't go about doing good and healing all that were oppressed to the devil till he was 30 years old. Even though by that time he knew by the word of God, because the Spirit of God had taught him. Another place he said to the people, it says in the word that you shall be taught of God. And you people aren't hearing me because you're not taught of God. You have not heard his voice or seen his shape. Because I'm here and God sent me and I'm only speaking what he's telling me to say and you're not hearing it. And yet they knew the scriptures backwards and forwards. They had a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. But he knew the scriptures, and he didn't deny them. He confessed them. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Because the same way we are to work, this is our work, that we believe on him whom he has sent. And God has given us these exceeding great and precious promises. But we have to apply them. We have to listen. We have to be listening carefully. What is God saying to me today? Today. We used to sing a song, God gives me fresh manna every day. Gives me fresh manna every day. Today, if you will hear his voice. And like Bill said, if we don't start off the day with God, you're going to go wrong somewhere. Because if we lean to our own understanding, I don't care how much we know, how much we've had experienced in the past, we are not kept by ourselves. We are kept by the power of God through faith. Through faith in what? In him. In his ability to keep me from falling. Because I don't have the ability. Yeah, but I know this and I know that. Yeah, but knowing it don't make it happen. He makes it happen. It's God that's working in you. It's God that's working in me both to will, to want to do it, and then to actually do it. I still remember that teaching you had, and you mentioned, Bill, about it's not the hearers of the word that are blessed, but the doers of the word. But you try to do that in the flesh, and you're going to fail. Because Jesus, who came in the flesh, said, the flesh profiteth nothing. So he wasn't extraordinarily smart. He wasn't extraordinarily disciplined in the flesh. He wasn't extraordinary person in the flesh. There was no reason to look upon. He says nothing. He was not comely to look. And there was nothing in him that drew people to him because he looked like an angel in the flesh. But it's what was done in the spirit that was a witness to him that he was who God said he was. Amen? Okay, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 5. And also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, who was that that said it to him? the Father. Thou art my Son. Today have I begotten thee. When he come up out of the waters of baptism, right? And what did he do there in baptism? He was baptized. And what did John say? It's needful that I be baptized of you, and you come to me, and you want me to baptize you. And he says that all righteousness might be fulfilled. In other words, Jesus humbled himself because John the Baptist was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Jesus wasn't born in sin. He was born of a virgin. And so the sin that comes down from fathers to fathers to fathers didn't come on him. But he was born in the flesh because he came of a woman. So when he humbled himself, God spoke, "Thou art my Son. Today have I begotten thee." And he saith also in another place, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." This is something that is taken out of the Old Testament. And he believed that this is what he was going to do. He also would believe that he was going to sit on the throne of his father David. Amen? Forever and ever and ever, right? Yet he didn't come. He also, by the Spirit, knew that he wasn't going to be like Moses, who, though he began to understand that he was going to be used as a deliverer, decided to go out and deliver somebody. And in delivering somebody, he killed the Egyptian. And because he killed the Egyptian, he had to run. But it was all in God's plan, because God had to get Moses down to the place where Moses would do what God wanted him to do. And Moses then became the meekest man that ever lived. Right? Right? He didn't start out that way. You don't grow up in the king's palace and become meek and lowly. That's not one of the training courses. You're a ruler. You're going to act like you're a leader. You need to be this, that, and the other thing. God didn't choose him because he grew up in Pharaoh's court. He chose him because he chose him. Amen? Amen? And Jesus was chosen. Jesus was called. Jesus, many times he said, "I was sent. I didn't come on my, I was sent. My Father sent me." Now verse, let's continue on here. Okay, who in the days of his flesh, verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. It wasn't fear, and it was piety. It was, he had a reverential fear of God. And so God heard his prayers. But we know that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed and he sweated, as it were, great drops of blood. As it were, blood. But they were great drops of sweat, blood. But because he was under such stress, that was the flesh. Another thing is, God cannot be tempted. So he didn't come as a God because he couldn't be tempted. But the Bible tells us he was tempted in all points. Kind of hard to believe, isn't it? I mean, it is for me anyway. I'm just hard to believe that he would never be tempted with what I'm tempted with. I mean, he's a better human being than I am. He overcame every temptation because he trusted fully in his God and in his Father. He believed what God said. Because God has told us some marvelous things. And if they don't come to pass, it's only because we haven't believed them. Blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Whoa, wait a minute. That's another one like, wait a minute. He doesn't have to learn to be obedient. I mean, after all, he is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man, but he is the Son of God. But he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Somebody told us one time, you know, submission isn't doing what you want to do. If somebody asks you to do something, like if somebody asked me to eat butter pecan ice cream, it's not a very submissive thing to me. But if you say, well, here's a bowl of chocolate, would you please eat it? That would be another thing. And if they ever come up with pea ice cream. Submit is to do something you don't really want to do. Amen? Did Jesus really want to go to the cross in the flesh? Oh, that's why there was the agony. He knew what he was going to face. He knew because of the scriptures and because the Holy Spirit had taught him, because he was the one who would receive the word of God with meekness. He didn't just shove it away and said, I'm not accepting that. I'm not believing that. But he listened. He humbled himself before God, and God would speak to him, and God would write his laws on his heart and put them in his mind. And so he became the very image of God. And then God, as he comes out of the water, God anoints him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was. And the reason God was with him, because he said, I always do those things that please him. I'm not there yet, but we are to press towards that mark. But we are to press in believing in him, because what he said, he can do it. Amen? Okay, so though he were a son, he learned obedience. So we have to learn obedience. We have to let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. My flesh does not want patience. If I want to do something, I want to do it now. If I see something that needs done around the house, I'm thinking, I want to do it now. But lately, God has been on the other side, I can just shove it aside and don't do it. You know, not concerned with it. Doesn't bother me. Just let me sit down on the couch. But if it does need done, and I want to do it, then I've got to wait on God for the opportunity for everything to fit together. And when I wait on God, eventually he brings it all together and it comes to pass. That roof over there that needed to be fixed, that roof sat on the driveway for all summer. And that roof had been leaking. And finally I got up there and I patched it. But anyway, at the fullness of time, God sent the help. God sent everything that needed to be done, and it was done. But it wasn't done in my timing. It was done in his timing. And so you have need of patience. I have need of patience. And you need to let patience have her perfect work. Amen? Faith is still the substance of things you're hoping for. That's not, of course, we know it's not the world's hope. It's the things you're expecting to happen. But they haven't happened yet. But don't faint. It's going to happen. God said it to you. It's going to happen. Amen? The faith is going to be tried. Don't think your faith is not going to be tried, because that's a lie. Because the trying of your faith is much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. But it's going to be to the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, blessed is he that endureth temptation. And again, my idea of being blessed is not being tempted. I'm not into any kind of temptation, not body or spirit or soul. But God's, they that overcome. And so there has to be things that need to be overcome. And there are a lot of things that need to be overcome. And in his time, he's going to bring us through victorious, because he has promised us the victory. Amen? Amen? He's promised us the victory. But we have to understand these things. When the Spirit spoke through Elizabeth and said, blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of things that, those things which are told her from the Lord, a baby didn't pop out of Mary. Right? Right? In the fullness of time, it did. And God had it all scheduled, because John the Baptist had to be first, but he had to be at a certain age, and John and Jesus had to be at a certain age. And God, I mean, God has it all figured out. God doesn't have to fit my plan. I have to fit God's plan, because he's got it all worked out already. The end from the beginning. He has my life already charted. I got to just, it's like those games on the computer. You know, you just got to get to the points. That's where you pick up the points. I remember one time when Dan Eckert here in We were praying for him as him and his wife were going over to Thailand. God just revealed, God said that, he says, I'm going to give you what you need as you go along. You're going to pick up things as along this trail you walk. You're not going to go out with them, but as you go, you're going to gain. They're going to pick them up. You're going to pick it up here and pick it up there. So it is a way in your life, too. We don't go out with everything we need. Well, if we have God, we have everything we need, but he's going to supply that when we need it at that moment, because you got to walk by faith and not by sight. Sight says, oh, I have enough money to go. I have enough this to go. I have enough of that to go. Faith says, I can go because he said, go now. Or if he says go and he doesn't say now, you wait to hear now. Because there's a presumption too. And being made perfect, you know, you and I are made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. But he was made perfect. He learned obedience through the things he suffered, and being made perfect, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He didn't just come and died. He had to walk this life. He had to go through these things. But he came through all these things victoriously. Called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. You and I have been called of God to be kings and priests unto our God. Amen? Amen? And you've been called to be sons of God, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you're dull of hearing. For when for a time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not strong drink. Okay. Chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Now this will we do, if God permit it. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and empowers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And it's a warning. It's a warning. And God warns us of things, of traps, of things that the enemy does, because he doesn't want us to fall into them. It's, the Bible says, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary is laying landmines. He's laying traps. He's laying things to get us messed up. Now, let's jump down to 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. And don't be slothful, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them, who through faith and patience, they inherited the promises. Amen? So God has been speaking things to us, and God is going to be speaking specific things to us, and we need to know that when he tells us something, that we need to believe it and that we need to hold fast to it. And though we don't see it at the moment, we have to believe it. You've got to believe it for it to come to pass. The enemy's job is to get you not to believe it. And God won't allow you to be tempted above what you're able to stand. But if I'm slothful, if I'm not sober, if I'm not vigilant, he will get me convinced that what God said isn't true. Only he won't put it that way, because it'll just look like I can't do it. But without God, none of us can do it. But we can do it with God. 13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, multiplying, I will multiply thee. So after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And so you and I have to patiently endure. Amen? It's not going to happen overnight. But again, if God says something to you, that's what you need to focus on, and that's what you need to look at. Don't care about what other people are saying. But care about what is God saying to you. And don't just look at what it seems like at the very moment. Because again, God calls those things that are not as though they were. Mary was not pregnant. Well, in the flesh, she wasn't pregnant because she didn't know any man. It's impossible for her to be pregnant. But she simply believed what the angel had told her. Well, if an angel had come to me and spoke to me, I mean, I would believe it. But who knows? Maybe it's just my mind. Maybe it's just what I want. But they, through reason of use, have their senses exercised thereby to discern both good and evil. Those through reason of use. The only way you're going to discern God's voice is you've got to go at it. You've got to start. You've got to walk in it and desire it and go towards it. And if you mess up and you messed up, that's okay. You just confess it and go back and start again. But you get to learn to hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice. Another one, they will not follow. Okay. So after they patiently endured, Abraham endured, he obtained the promise. There's been given to us exceeding great and precious promises that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. So if we have a problem with some sin or something that keeps reoccurring, what we need to do is believe what God says and hold fast to that. Like, he's able to keep me from falling. Or that if I receive with meekness the engrafted word, it's able to save my soul. Or some of this other one we're going to run into right here. Another one. Another promise here in Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he, I'm going to read 24. And this man, talking about Jesus, because he continued ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood forever and ever, Melchizedek. Wherefore he is, I'm talking about Jesus, is the priest. He's Melchizedek. Wherefore he is able also to save to the uttermost or evermore. He's able to save you forever that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. There's that prayer in Colossians, and in the end of the prayer is, if you continue to believe, if you continue to walk in faith, if you continue to believe God, he's able to continually keep you from falling. You say, well, I fell last week. I did something wrong. Well, he's got an antidote for that too. He says, if you do sin, you confess your sin, God is faithful and he's justified in forgiving of your sin and cleansing you from all unrighteousness. God doesn't hate you. God loves you. Jesus died on the cross when you were a sinner. He introduced his love to you when you weren't doing anything right. I was totally wrong. You were totally wrong. And he's calling you totally right, but you're not doing everything totally right yet. But we're going to get there by God's grace and believing in God, who's able to do the impossible. Amen? And so when we witness to people, the witness isn't, you know, if you do things right, if you stop doing this and stop doing that, if you stop being a sinner, God will save you. Well, that isn't right. He saves sinners. He didn't call the righteous to repentance. He called sinners to repentance. They that are whole don't need a physician. And they that think they're righteous don't need any help. They don't want any help. They have it all under control. But blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Praise the Lord. Amen. I need you more than yesterday, and I need to believe his word more and more and more. No matter what I mess up, God is able to straighten it up, and he's able to straighten me up. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Our hope is in God. We can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Okay, Hebrews 8:10. For this is the covenant. Now, this is the new covenant. The covenant is made between two people. There's agreement, this thing this person has to do and this person has to do. And this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, and I will, and it doesn't say that, but what it means, I will write them in their hearts, and I will be them to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. But I'll write my law on their, I'll put them in your minds, and I'll write them on your heart. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen? And so God is able to change you. He says, I'll take out your stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. But the manifestation of this is over a period of time. Why? Because the just live by faith. I am justified by faith. And Satan comes just, if you are a son of God, then why did you just do that? If you're really a son of God, why did you mess up like that? Because the flesh isn't dead yet. I haven't, you know, I'm not arrived yet. But I'm on my way. You're on your way. Amen? Yeah. And because we're believing in God, not because I got it all under control. I mean, if you get that kind of an attitude, we'll come off that way with other people. And people are going to say, like, they'll go away and shake their head and say, well, I'll never be as good as this person. I'll never be as good as he is. I'll never be as good as she is. Well, they'll never be that in themselves, but they need to know. It's only by the grace of God. Amen? Amen? We're here to give people hope. And not to call them a dope, you know, but give them hope. For this is the covenant. This is the agreement that I have with you. That I'll make with the house of Israel. I will put my law in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God. I will be to them a God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, you got to know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, for I will be merciful to your unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Thank you. And that he saith, a new covenant he maketh the made the first old. Now that which is decayed, waxes old, is ready to vanish away. He's made a covenant with us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 18. As we behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, as the Spirit of God is revealing Jesus to us, I know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. As I read the word of God, and whether I feel anything or I don't feel anything, but I feel, if God's speaking to me this word and I believe it, he does a weird thing. He changes me on the inside. And then the thing that used to get me to sin, the thing that used to, the lust that used to pull me to sin, is broken. And all the glory goes to God, because I am his workmanship. Amen? The Pharisees, they were righteous compared to other people. And Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed the scribes and the Pharisees. But they went about boasting on their righteousness. They went boasting about what they could do, what they weren't this. I thank thee, Father, that I'm not like these men or like these women. I thank you, Lord, that I'm better. I fast, I do this, and I do that. Learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. To know God. He wants us to know him. And we can know him because he's born, his spirit is born in us. We are born of the Spirit of God. Okay, we're almost at the end. 10:28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose you shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, and a holy thing, and hath done despite on the Spirit of grace. A spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is. It is. So I don't want to get there. Amen. And I'm just dumb enough to do it in myself. So I got to hope in somebody. I got to put my trust in somebody. I got to depend on somebody else. I can't depend on me. But call remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great flight of afflictions. So these people were going the right direction, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companion of them that were so used. For you had compassion in me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. So he's he's warning them, you know, so don't cast away therefore your confidence. Of course, God has given us a scripture. Yeah, you can be confident of this very thing. He that begun a good work in you, he's going to perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Don't cast away that confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For again, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You might actually receive that promise. You might actually enter into the promised land. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. He's talking about Jesus here, but it also means the Word, the manifestation of the Word. Jesus is the Word, but the manifestation of what God has said to you. Now the just shall live by faith. So don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though you're going through some strange thing. The just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And when I mess up, I only attempted to draw back because Satan's right there to just lay it on me. He's the accuser of the brethren. You might as well give up. You might as well give in. You'll never be what you're supposed to be. You'll never reach the mark. You'll never attain what you've been called to do because you're just not the material. You just don't have it. Other people have it, but you don't have it. God's true, but you're just... But see, the just shall live by faith. Faith isn't performance, but it brings forth performance because God performs what he said he's going to do because you believe in it. Blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And there shall be a performance of the things that God has said. And so those who don't believe God and won't accept God's way, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a fearful thing to die without God. It is a terrible thing to die without God. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back to perdition. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. It's a walk. It's not like that. It's a walk, and it's a walk of faith. And today, I got to hear his voice today. Because when I mess up, it's because I haven't been walking with him. Somewhere, he went this way, and I went that way. And I felt fine, just like Samson felt fine. Till the enemy attacked, and he got up to go, and he didn't have the strength. He thought he had it. I mean, he did everything that he did before. I'm going to get up and go as I did before, but he didn't wist. He wist not, whatever wist is. He didn't know that the glory of God had departed, the power of God had departed, and he could do nothing without God. Amen? Neither can I. I can't keep myself from falling. I can reason with myself why I shouldn't do this, why I shouldn't do that, or why I shouldn't be this way. I'm going to leave with this testimony. A guy was holding a meeting, and after the meeting, a guy came up to him and said, "I'm an engineer," and he said, "I've been working overseas for two or three years. He was overseas working, and he came home, and when he came home, his wife and his best friend had had an affair, and he ended up losing his wife and two kids and his best friend. And it hurt, right? Right? Would it hurt? Come on, be honest. It would hurt. And so he's a Christian. And so he knows. He says, "I know I shouldn't have any ill feelings, but my best friend, my wife, my kids." And he says, "I keep trying to get rid of it," and the minister ministered to him, and God gave him some words to say to him, and it set him free, because see, he was trying to do it. He was trying to keep the law of God without God. He knew he shouldn't do it. He knew he shouldn't have unforgiveness or bitterness, but It just came over him. But see, the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against him. My expectation is of God. My hope is in God. And when my hope and my trust is in God, then I'm on a solid rock. And nothing can move me. But when my hope gets shifted and my trust gets shifted, and I start believing in my ability, or I start, and it's really sneaky. I tell you, Satan is good at what he does because it's evil, but he knows what he's doing. The Spirit of God Satan is no match for the Spirit of God. But he gets me away from God, and then he jumps on me. And then I'm telling myself, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't be this way, I shouldn't feel this way. And all the talking and all the reasoning in the world doesn't change me. Doesn't help me. But when I go back to God, he strengthens me. He heals me. In Hebrews it says about lifting up your hands that hang down and make straight paths for your feet. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So it isn't that, okay, you got to get your arm strengthened here, you got to get your leg strengthened. No, God wants to do a miracle. He wants to heal you. He wants to heal me. As he does physical healing miraculously, he can do spiritual healing miraculously. Amen? Amen? Satan wants to tie you up. He wants to bind you up in sin. He wants to bind me up. He wants to tie me up. He doesn't want me to fulfill the call and the purpose wherewith God has called me and called you. Because if you walk in the light as he is in the light and you fulfill God's purpose and plan for your life, I'm going to be blessed. Not because I'm so good that I want to see you be blessed. It's because it's just natural. You're part of me and I'm part of you. We're part of the body of Christ. One member hurts, we all hurt, right? Well, if one member is blessed, we are. When your kids are behaving themselves, are you blessed? Yeah. But when they're not, right? They're affecting you, right? So we affect one another. And so you can build me up or you can tear me down. Or I can build you up and I can tear you down. I mean, but we're to encourage one another and strengthen one another. Amen? Amen? And when we have a problem, we should be able to go to one another and talk with one another, not feeling like, well, they're going to think less of me or they're going to put me down. They're going to, you know, do this or they're going to do that. I got to be free. You got to be free. We got to be free because we're not competing with one another. We're together. We're pulling the same way. Amen? God's kingdom come, God's will be done in each one of our lives. It'll be a blessing to every one of us here. Amen? God's not looking for superstars. He's got one, Jesus Christ. We just got to follow. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We praise you this morning because you that begun this good work in each one of us, you're going to continue to perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You're going to bring it to perfection. Huh. Sometimes I just think, it's impossible. I don't know. I can see it in other people, but Lord, it's the truth. You can do it. We're to be believers in trusting you. We're not going to turn back unto perdition. We're not going to give up. We're going to give in to you and allow you to have your will and way in our lives. And Lord, if we just follow you, you're able to keep us from falling. You're able to present us faultless before your presence. You're able to cause us to fulfill every good thing, every good work that you've called and chosen us to do. God of peace, sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved blameless. And the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, fulfilling the will of God. Make you perfect in every good work. Father, I just pray that you continue to work in each one of us and continue to stir us up by your Spirit to get into you closer and closer and closer. Lord, that your kingdom come and your will be done in each one of our hearts, in our spirits, in our souls, in our bodies. Father, we pray this right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. To glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord.